listening to Penguin Radio on radio.dominican.edu. This is DJ Sizzle, and welcome to Cultural Kitchen. The show is about food from all around the world. So, for this show, I will be broadcasting live on ustream.tv, so if you're curious about what I look like and how awkward I'm going to be, go on ustream.tv and type in Dominican Radio, and you should be able to see a link that says Cultural Kitchen Show Number 8. So go check that out and see me talk your ears off about food. Watch me be awkward and have a good laugh, with me or without me. With me or at me, actually. So, let's get back on track with my show. Again, this is DJ Sizzle, and you're listening to Cultural Kitchen on radio.dominican.edu. So, we are on show number 8 today. I'll be talking about Korean cuisine. Have you guys ever had before? If not, keep listening in for some more information about it, and maybe I can convince you to try it. So, we will be splitting this show up into 3 segments. For segment number 1, I'll be talking about the culture of Korean food. For segment number 2, I'll be telling you guys about some recipes that you can try making at home. And to save the best for last, for segment number 3, I'll be sharing some amazing restaurants that I have had or want to try all over California. So, let's get started with segment number 1. You're listening to Cultural Kitchen with your favorite DJ, DJ Sizzle, on radio.dominican.edu. So, segment number 1. The Korean Peninsula is a large finger of land that extends south from the northeastern border of China into the ocean parallel to Japan. It is surrounded by the Sea of Japan and the East China Sea. Both North Korea and South Korea have problems with air and water pollution, and both governments have passed laws to control pollutions. Higher elevations are found in North Korea, while South Korea has fertile plains suitable for agriculture in the southern region. The climate supports agriculture, and South Korea grows enough rice to support its population. So rice is, like many Asian countries, is a staple food. And so the main rivers are the Han and the Kum. They help provide adequate water supply for the agricultural lands. The seas surrounding the Korean Peninsula, the Yellow and East China Seas, and the Sea of Japan, not only provide many types of seafood, like tuna, king crab, squid, but also moisture for the fertile soil needed to grow rice and grains. So for centuries, the Koreans have eaten the products of the land and sea. They began to grow grains thousands of years ago, and rice cultivation was introduced to some parts of the country around 2000 BC. So during this time, they grew millet, which is a type of grass grown for its edible seed. They also grew soybeans, red beans, and many other grains. They cured and pickled fish, which they're skilled at making wine and bean paste, and often use honey and oil in their cooking. So the Chinese and Japanese invasions during the 14th through 20th centuries, it gave rise to a culinary influence on Korea that remains today. Like the Chinese and Japanese, Koreans eat rice with almost every meal, and they also use chopsticks. Eating with chopsticks means the food is usually cut up into little pieces that are easy to pick up. Food cut this size cooks fast, which cuts down on the use of fuel. Unlike China and Japan, however, Korea was never a tea-drinking nation. Historically, China and Japan had to boil their water for it to be fit to drink. Korea's water was pure, which led them to discover other beverages, such as ginseng and ginger drinks, which is made from herbs of the same name. These drinks, if you're sick, these drinks are pretty good for your throat, for a sore throat. That's why I drink when I'm sick. And they also, other beverages include wine and spirits. Su Chunk Hua, the ginger drink, is often served on joyous occasions during the winter and especially at New Year's. So Korea shares many similarities with other Asian cuisines, such as the importance of rice and vegetables, and cooking methods such as stir-frying, steaming, and braising. As is true of the rest of Asia, Koreans eat far less meat than people in the Western world. Red meat is scarce and very expensive, so it's usually saved for special occasions. Chicken or seafood is more commonly eaten. So Korean food is very spicy, and it contains red pepper paste, green onion, soy sauce, bean paste, garlic, and ginger are just some of many seasonings that they use to flavor their dishes. The food is served with a bland grain such as rice to cool the heat of the spices. The Korean way of preparing and eating their dishes makes for a healthy eating. Generally speaking, Koreans are pretty thin people, and being overweight is considered a sign of wealth and dignity, and seen particularly among the rich and high officials. So a meal served for a group of people often includes several large dishes as many as 20 side dishes. So if you guys ever been to a Korean barbecue place, or any tofu house or any Korean restaurant, there's always a lot of side dishes which pretty much come included the meal. So it's free, and the side dishes are all really good. So unlike other Asian cultures, Korean cuisine includes many uncooked vegetables served in the form of salads and pickles. Traditional Korean meals include soup, which is served hot or cold depending on the season, like kamjaguk or kamjaguk, which is a potato soup, and hinpap, which is white rice. Some popular Korean dishes are kimchi, hinpap, and kalbi. Kimchi is a common spicy Korean side dish. It's considered a national dish. Kimchi comes in a variety of flavors depending on a family tradition. The main ingredients are cabbage, radish, which are fermented with red chilies, salt, and other vegetables. Kimjang is the traditional Korean custom of making kimchi in the early winter to prepare for the cold months. Hinpap, which is white rice, is mainly the staple food of Korea, and it's the biggest crop produced in South Korea. It can be eaten in many ways. There are ugakbap, which is boiled rice mixed with four grains, yakbap, which is a sweet rice dish, and just over 50 varieties of rice cakes. So now you know Koreans eat a lot of things that contain rice. So now let's talk about some foods for traditional and religious holiday celebrations. Traditional Korean holidays have developed under the influences of the seasons, rural agricultural life, and the religions of Buddhism and Confucianism. As of the 21st century, traditional holidays still held significant meaning in the daily lives of the Korean people. The lunar year, or Seol, is the first day of the new year. Koreans traditionally hold a memorial service for their ancestors, after which they perform sebae, which is a formal bow of respect to their elders as a New Year's greeting. The day is always celebrated with a bowl of tukuk or rice cake soup. Other popular foods eaten on Lunar New Year are chapchae, which is noodles with meat and vegetables, pindae tok, which is a mung bean pancake, and sujangwa, which is cinnamon-flavored persimmon punch. Ooh. At weddings, a sticky rice ball, which is called yakshik, is loaded with chestnuts, jujubes, raisins, and pine nuts to symbolize children. Honoring families' ancestors is an important part of a Korean's heritage. So four generations of ancestors are honored on the day before the anniversary of a person's death. Food is served in dishes with special stands to prevent the plates from touching the table. Food is arranged and combined according to strict ancient customs. So, for example, at least three different colors of fruits and vegetables are set on the table. There's red fruits and fish to the east, white fruits and meat to the west. A special dish that may be served is kujupan, which is served in a nine-compartment dish. These compartments are filled with nine different kinds of brightly colored meats and vegetables. These foods are wrapped in thin pancakes and eaten at the table. Another traditional holiday in South Korea is called Yadunal, or Shampoo Day on June 15th. Friends and family would gather at a stream or waterfall to bathe in the clear water, which is a ceremony that they believe will ward off fevers for the rest of the year. When I looked this up, I found it really weird because, like, it's sort of like a hot spring in Japan where you just go completely naked, and there's like some hot springs that are like have both men and ladies, and just specifically for ladies, specifically for men. And you just, it's everyone just minds their own business and just enjoys a nice warm bath, which is, I found really weird. What's funny is that I actually went to Japan this summer and I tried out a hot spring with my mom, and my mom was all for it, and I was just like, no, that's weird, we're gonna be naked. And my mom's like, no, everyone's naked, just don't stare and don't like make a big deal out of it. But then as we go there, eventually I was like, oh, forget it, this is, I gotta do what I gotta do. And my mom was the one who was actually scared to go in, because she's like, oh, we're gonna be naked, she was all freaking out. I just thought it was funny. back on track. So, a picnic meal is packed and may include mandu, which is dumplings, sweet rice cakes, grilled fish or meat, and watermelon. So, now let's talk about some mealtime customs for the Koreans. There is a little difference in what Koreans eat for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Breakfast is the biggest meal of the day. It may include cold soup such as cucumber soup, steamed peppers, and fish patties. Grilled beef is bulgogi, is one of the Korea's best-known meat dishes. And lunch could be a potato soup mixed with veggies, or chapchae, which is clear noodles made from mung bean flour. For dinner, perhaps galbi guk, which is a beef short rib soup, a spinach salad, bulgogi, and steamed chicken is eaten. Of course, all three meals would be served with white rice and kimchi. A good Korean cook will try to include five colors at every meal: red, green, yellow, white, and black. Koreans seldom serve dessert, but they often eat fresh fruit instead. I'm pretty sure that's a lot, like, a lot of Asian cultures do that. I do that at home. I know my friend does that for, like, just eat fruit instead of, like, a cake or a brownie. So, meals are considered an important event in the day to Koreans, and much time is spent in its preparation. In fact, Koreans find eating so important, they want to concentrate all their attention on it and consider it impolite to talk while eating. They avoid conversations until the end of the meal. And at mealtime, the dishes of food are placed in the middle of the table, and individual bowls of rice are set in front of each person. The Korean table setting is much different than the table setting used in the United States. The tables finish with shiny red or black paint are only 10 inches high. Dinners are seated on a cushion placed on the floor around the table. So this setting is very similar to a Japanese culture where they have the tatami rooms where you just sit and you sit on your knees. Or you sit on your feet, actually. So you have your knees in front of you and you just eat like that. So the Korean... So on the table, there's beautiful patterns in mother of pearl. And when the table's not being used, it's hung up on the wall like a picture. So that's interesting. So it's the student life. Like, students carry lunch boxes to school that are quite unlike those of the U.S. students. They're little tin boxes with several compartments built into them for chopsticks, rice, dried fish, and other foods. Small children have small chopsticks, and they grow bigger. And as they grow bigger, they use bigger chopsticks. For snacks at home, Korean students like to eat fruit, either fresh or dried, and sometimes little cakes made from sugar, honey, dried fruit, and rice flour. They are much less sweet tasting than the cookies and cakes made in the United States. The popular kimchi is always in the kitchen and an easy snack to eat. So this is the end of segment one. And I'm going to be taking a break now, so stay tuned for some recipes about Korean food. This is DJ Sizzle, and thank you for listening to Cultural Kitchen. And talk to you guys in a bit.
You know how fast you were going?
What?
How fast you were going?
65.
The negative consequences of drinking and driving can kill the vibe to any good night, and thousands of people die every year from drunk drivers. So whatever you do, call a cab, crash on a buddy's couch, just don't hit the roads drunk. This message was brought to you by the DJs of Penguin Radio.
I'm clumsy and my head's a mess, 'cause you got me growing taller every day. We're giants in a little man's world. My heart's pumping, I'm so big that it could burst. I'm trying so hard not to let it show, but you got me feeling like I'm stepping on buildings, cars and boats. I swear I could touch the sky. We'll be right back.
it's apparent. I put on basic carrots on you, you should see the clarity. With a co-parent, a daughter in the future, she'll inherit it. I cannot stop staring at you, I mean, that's a trial. See the kid by you in church and will donate me, it's the charity. Acknowledge me and I can help you study what geography, psychology, finance, and economics in my biology. No stopping me, let's change that be the wheel, let's buy some property. It's lonely in the toss, so won't you come and get on top of me?
Welcome back from the break. This is DJ Sizzle, and you are listening to Cultural Kitchen. We are on segment number 2 now, and if you missed segment number 1 and you want to listen to it, go to radio.dominican.edu and check it out. Alright, so segment number 2, I'll be giving you guys some recipes, some Korean recipes. Our first recipe is a vegetarian, bibimbap. It's, usually created by, with meat or chicken marinades, but if you want to add beef or chicken, it's feel free to do that. And then, alright, so the ingredients to start off with is you would use 2 tablespoons of sesame oil, 1 cup of carrot matchsticks, 1 cup of zucchini matchsticks, And by matchsticks, you would cut them up into matchstick sizes. So you know how matchsticks are really thin and tiny? You would cut it up like that. A half of a can of bean sprouts that's drained. 6 ounces of canned bamboo shoots drained. 1 can of sliced mushrooms drained. 1/8 teaspoon of salt. 2 cups cooked and cooled rice. 1/3 cup of sliced green onions. 2 tablespoons of soy sauce. 1/4 teaspoon of ground black pepper. 1 tablespoon of butter. 3 eggs. 3 teaspoons of sweet red chili sauce or to taste. And so that's all the ingredients. And to make this recipe, it would take about 30 minutes to prep, 20 minutes to cook, so in all about 50 minutes to an hour. So you would first heat the sesame oil in a large skillet over a medium heat. Then you would cook and stir carrot and zucchini in the hot oil until the vegetables begin to soften. And you would stir for about 5 minutes. And after that, you would stir in the bean sprouts and bamboo shoots and mushrooms, and you would just cook and stir it until everything's tender, and that should take about 5 more minutes. After that, you would season it with salt and set the vegetables aside. After that, you would stir the cooked rice, the green onions, soy sauce, and black pepper in the same skillet until the rice is hot, and in the separate skillet over medium heat, melt the butter and gently fry eggs, turning once until the yolks are still slightly runny but the egg whites are firm. So it should take about 3 minutes per egg. Then to serve, you would divide the hot cooked rice mixture between 3 serving bowls and top each bowl with 1/3 of the vegetable mixture and fried egg. And then you serve sweet red chili sauce on the sides for mixing into the bibimbap. Alright, and after that you would enjoy. So our next recipe, I'm going to tell you guys how to make kalbi. And it's a Korean barbecue short ribs. And it's really good. You should try it. You should try making it, or if you're at a restaurant, you should go order it. This one, however, it's going to take a while. It's going to take about 4 hours. And to prep and cook it, it's 15 minutes, but you have to marinate the ribs. So that's what takes a long time. But it's all super, it's not many ingredients. It just takes a lot of time. So the ingredients you would need is 3/4 of a cup of soy sauce, 3/4 of brown sugar, 3/4 of cup of water, 1 garlic clove that's minced, 2 chopped green onions, 1 tablespoon of Asian sesame oil, 2 pounds of Korean style short ribs, that's, you can have the beef chunk flaken and cut it into 1/3 or 1/2 inch thick across the bones, and then you would add, and then that's it. So, to start, in a bowl you would stir together the soy sauce, the brown sugar, water, garlic, green onions, and sesame oil until the sugar has dissolved. Then you would place the ribs in a large plastic zipper bag. You would pour the marinade over the ribs, squeeze out all the air, and refrigerate the bag for 3 hours overnight. After that, pretty much the next morning or 3 hours later, you can preheat the outdoor grill, or you can just put it in the oven, preheat the oven, and you would lightly oil the grate and remove the ribs from the bag, shake off the excess marinade, and discard the marinade. Then you would grill the ribs for about 5 to 7 minutes until the meat is still pink but not bloody. That's nearest to the bone, not the meat has to be cooked. But yeah, and that's how you make a Korean barbecue short ribs. Alright, so our next recipe. This one's really good. It's Korean glass noodles. And if you never had it before, you should just go check out. Just Korean markets should sell it anywhere, pretty much sells it. And it's called japchae in Korean. And it's not a, this recipe I'm giving you is not a traditional Korean japchae that includes meat and vegetables. This one's is sweet and delightful, and it's great to serve as an appetizer or a side dish to chicken or and meat. So first, the ingredients you would need is 1 package of sweet potato vermicelli, 1/2 cup of reduced sodium soy sauce, 1/4 cup of brown sugar, 1/2 cup of boiling water, 3 tablespoons of vegetable oil, 1 teaspoon of toasted sesame seeds. So, it's really simple. It's pretty much takes 20 minutes in all. And so you would break the vermicelli into small pieces and place it in a deep-sided dish. You would cover with tap water and let it soak for about 10 minutes. So that pretty much takes about half the time it takes to make it. And then while you're waiting for it, you can whisk together the soy sauce, the brown sugar, and the boiling water. And then you would pour the over the drained noodles and allow it to soak for 2 minutes. After that, you would pour the vegetable oil into a skillet and place over medium heat. Add the noodles and soy sauce mixture of the skillet and cook and stir until it's hot for about 5 minutes, and sprinkle sesame seeds over the noodles just before you serve. And in these noodles, feel free to add carrots or any other veggies that you think would go good with it. This is just a plain japchae, and it's more sweet than the normal one. But again, you can always find this at different Korean restaurants. Alright, so this has been... This is the end of segment number 2, and I'm going to take a quick break, and I'll talk to you guys in a few minutes. This is DJ Sizzle, and you're listening to Penguin Radio on radio.dominican.edu. Yeah!
For the stone was rolled away. Yes, it was. Oh, yeah. Rejoice. Yeah, it was my sins away. How happy to be. Ladies and gentlemen, my friend, Miss Mavis Staples.
DU Did You Know, brought to you by Penguin Radio. DU Did You Know, the Alemany Library at Dominican University is named in honor of Archbishop Joseph Alemany. He was the first Archbishop of San Francisco and brought the Dominican Sisters to California from Fanjo, France. The library opened in 1963 and in 1964 was one of seven libraries to be recognized by the American Institute of Library Buildings for its architecture. Also, from an aerial view, the library is in the shape of a cross. DU Did You Know is brought to you by the DJs of Penguin Radio.
Break. This is DJ Sizzle, and you're listening to Cultural Kitchen on radio.dominican.edu. So, we're on segment number 3, and my show is about food from all over the world. And for the show number 8, we're talking about Korean food. So, segment number 3, I'll be telling you guys some Korean restaurants around the area, or just around California. So, the first place is in the Bay Area. It's called Mana. It has 4 stars and over 600 reviews on Yelp. It's the price range is around $11 to $30. And looking at this restaurant, it's the health inspection's 82 out of 100, which is pretty good. It's a B. And this place is located on Irving Street in San Francisco. So let me read you guys some reviews. So a recommendation is the sweet and spicy chicken wings. And they're oh so delicious. And she also said to eat right away when they deliver them to your table. Another review said, alright, this place doesn't need another 5-star review since it's already so well-liked. But I just thought I would put my 2 cents as well. This is my favorite Korean restaurant, hands down. The servers and owner are incredibly polite and friendly, which I love. The food is amazing, and I never had a dish here that I didn't like. Their banchan is really good and flavorful, and I'm in love with the fish cake. So some stuff that I tried are the soft tofu soup and beef or seafood. And seafood is my personal favorite. I ordered it mild, and it's a perfect amount of spice for me. And it's so flavorful that they don't skimp on the seafood either. It comes with mini clams, squid, and much more. And it's perfect for a cold evening. So another thing that I tried is the japchae. It comes with beef, which is super flavorful, and it's not too salty like some other places. And yeah, definitely go try that out. Another thing that I tried is the kimchi fried rice with beef and fried egg. It's the best kimchi fried rice in San Francisco, without a doubt. It's so good that I can't even describe it. And they give you a generous amount of kimchi in the rice. So, the chicken wings, it's comparable to Santung's. It's crispy, covered in semi-sweet brown sugar sauce. Wow, I never read anything that's comparable to Santung's chicken wings, so go check that out. Dakboki is rice cakes with spicy sauce. It's chewy, spicy, and it's amazing. The bibimbap is one of the pretty standard things, which is probably the only thing here that's standard. All the foods are amazing and just great service. Alright, so that's one review. Another review is the kimchi. I need to try their dolsot bibimbap because I noticed a lot of people always order it. Pretty much just scrolling through the reviews, just all the foods seem really good. So go check this place out. It's on Irving Street in San Francisco. It's called Mana, M-A-N-N-A. And so the next place is also in San Francisco. It's called My Tofu House. It has 4 stars and over 1,400 reviews on Yelp. It's located on Geary Boulevard, and it's in San Francisco. It has a price range of around $11 to $30. And so some reviews. So as for Korean food, my favorite is a tofu soup. And I'm pretty sure I would love this place. So I'm going to go try that out sometime soon. So some reviews consisted, the banchan that they serve to you are unlimited. You can ask for more with no extra charge, except for the fried fish they will charge. This place for hot tofu soup, bibimbap, and mouth-watering kalbi that will melt in your mouth. I love how they provide a raw egg for the soup because it adds a more flavorful taste to the tofu soup. Another one says, this place is awesome. Granted, the fact that it was freezing that day, I went most likely played a big role in making the tofu soup all that more enjoyable. If you like Korean food, this is the place. This place is a solid choice for the inner Richmond area. The traditional prefixes are good. It would be nice if the cucumbers were drizzled with some spicy sauce, but they're good. I look forward to coming back and trying the rest of their menu. The tofu soup is solid. So, if you like spicy, just a note that if you like spicy, the medium spicy is super weak, so up the spice. Alright, another place, another review said, it's one of my favorite places to go for Korean food, especially for tofu soup. I love their banchans because they give you the fishes, which are absolutely delicious, and not all Korean foods offer this. Alright, so that's all my reviews for Northern California, so let's get to Southern California. So, the next place is called Hot and Sweet Chicken. It's a Korean restaurant. It's a Korean and American fused restaurant. It's really good. The chicken's great. The pizza's great. They have this sweet potato stuffed crust, and it just makes the... They have a bulgogi pizza, and if you get it with the gold crust, which is the sweet potato stuffed crust, it's amazing. And everything's consistent. They give a complimentary house salad, and I always get like three of those, and they're really nice about it. So this place, Hot and Sweet Chicken, it has 4 stars and 300 reviews. It's on Huntington Drive in Arcadia, and the price range is about $11 to $30, which is pretty affordable. Alright, so... let me read you guys some reviews. So we had the soy garlic and sweet garlic and got a level 3 out of 4 in spiciness, both of which were very tasty. So behold, another review said, behold, today is Thursday and the weekend combo is a bulgogi pizza and 12 wings for $25. That's a good deal to share with 2-3 people. Another review said, I hope to become a regular here for their chicken. It was freaking delicious, especially the sweet garlic. We also get sweet chili. I think we would like it if it wasn't so directly next to the sweet garlic. So inevitably, we compared the two. We also got the tteokbokki, which is the spicy rice cake with ramen, and it wasn't as spicy as we were hoping for. But we were imagining the spice levels to be similar to Korea and to make us sweat. Alright, so that ends the review of that restaurant. So let's move on to the next one. This is my favorite Korean barbecue place down in SoCal. It's called Ukuk. And it's spelled O-O-K-O-O-K, Korean barbecue. It's located on Rosemead Boulevard in San Gabriel. And the regular all-you-can-eat Korean barbecue. And the dinner is about $27 and lunch is about $22, I think. Not sure if they up the price or not, but they have 4 stars on Yelp and over 800 reviews. So my favorite thing there is just to keep on getting their beef tongue. It's really good. It's nicely thinly sliced and it's great. So some reviews. The salad bar has given extra gloves of garlic and onion for you to take at will, as well as some standard fruits. The establishment is a lot bigger than K-Town, and the meat quality is just as good. Another review said, it's the best Korean, all-you-can-eat Korean barbecue I have ever had. Better than the one in Irvine that I usually go to. And though it's slightly more expensive than other all-you-can-eat Korean barbecue places, it's an extra few dollars and it's worth the meat quality. The service isn't the best, but they come by enough so your table's never wanting of meat. And just know you won't be leaving the place reeking of meat and oil. Their vents are located in the grill and catches the majority of the smell. Alright. So that ends segment number 3. And thanks for listening to Cold Shore Kitchen. This is DJ Sizzle. And I'll talk to you guys in show number 9. You're listening to Penguin Radio on radio.dominican.edu.